Amen. As I've said to you before, and I have mentioned this psalm and other psalms as well in the book of Lamentations, this is what is known as an alphabet psalm. In other words, it's arranged using all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's a unique and a remarkable psalm in that sense. All 176 verses are literally arranged into 22 sections. Each is accorded or afforded a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Each letter has under that section, verse under that section is afforded the same letter that heads the section. As you see there in this seventh section, it's the letter Z or Zion. And every single word of those eight verses in the Hebrew was designed that it started with the letter that heads up the section. In many ways, this inspired arrangement would have given help to young people and to, I would say, senior citizens and people in my own age bracket as well, that would be able to memorize scripture. You'd be able to know you're in the seventh section of the Psalm 119. You would know that every single verse of that section begins with the letter Zion or Z, as we would bring it into the English alphabet. And therefore, it would aid your memory. Little children, and boys and girls, Jewish children, would memorize Psalm 119 in this very way. And they would remember the beginning of the verse. It begins with the letter Zion, and in this case, Zachar. And then the next verse in verse 50, Zothe, this, and so on and so on. And it goes right through that Hebrew alphabet and that letter that heads up the section. I want to tell you something. We are now in what is known as the seventh section. This is important. God has placed the letter Z, Zion, in the seventh section. He has also placed the word comfort twice over in this seventh section. The Bible is not by chance. The Bible is not by simple human intuition. Rather, it's by divine inspiration. Each letter not only represents a sound phonetically, but it also carries with it a word picture. And the Hebrew letter Zion, you might have it in your English Bible. It is the word picture of the hammer. Now, I want you to think about all these things. We're in the seventh section of this Psalm 119. Every single letter begins with the letter Zion. And furthermore, I want to tell you that in this seventh section, the word comfort is used twice over. And the word picture is the hammer. Now, you may be confused at this point and say, where on earth is he going with this message? I want simply to take all of those principles that are governing this section of the Word of God, and I want now to bring to you this picture of what God's design in this psalm is for you. The seventh section, the number seven in Scripture, is the number of perfection or completion. I said to you, 7 days make a complete or a perfect week. And on the seventh day, God blessed the seventh day. And he encouraged God's people to enter into comfort or into rest on that day. It's not surprising that God gives witness to the word comfort in this section. It is his desire that you enter into this section with comfort, and that you come out of this section into the next one with your heart comforted. It's God's desire that he brings you into joyful rest and everlasting comfort. And he puts the word comfort in twice. Number two in Scripture is the number of witness. Every single word must be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so the number two in Scripture is the number of witnesses. And therefore we can see now that God is witnessing to a great truth, isn't he? That it is his desire to comfort you. And it's in the seventh section, the section that we remember the Lord's day. And we remember the comfort and the rest and the joyful consolation we have on such a day as that. But I want you to see something else as well. The word picture is the hammer. And while we can truthfully say when we look at this letter Zion, it does look like a hammer. And there are many other letters that look like the word. There's some that don't look like it at all. So don't think that the letter has to represent the word. It doesn't. But there are sections, and I could take you through it. I have them all marked in my Bible. And those letters that literally look like the word, and this is one of them. It looks like a little hammer. And if you were to magnify that, because I'm sure you're using a small Bible, or if you were to put your glasses on, you would see that this letter looks like a little hammer. And what's God doing here? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's hammering home his truth. That's what he's doing. He's fastening a nail in the heart in a sure place in your life. And here's what he's doing. And I find this remarkable. He begins the very chapter like this. Remember. Look at verse 49. Remember, Zachar. And then look at verse 50. This. Do you see it? You have the first verse of this section. Remember. And the second verse, this. But look how it ends. Look at verse 55, for instance. And there you have the word remember. And in the Hebrew, that word remembered begins the verse. And then you have in verse 56, this, Zothe. And what is the Lord hammering home? Remember this. Remember this. Remember this. I don't want you to forget this. And here's what he's doing. He's hammering home the truth. I don't want you to forget this. Remember this. It is my desire to comfort you. Now, when the devil tells you that God's against you, and God's afflicting you, and God's putting you through unnecessary trial, and he's causing you needless pain and tears, and God's acting unfair, you remember this. That's what the Lord's saying. Don't you forget this. You remember this. I'm hammering home this truth. This is the very section that I now promise you that I desire to comfort you. I desire that you might have everlasting consolation. I desire that you might have joyful rest. I desire that you may find peace in the midst of every storm that I bring your way. I desire that you find in me the joy and the comfort that your soul needs. That you find rest and peace trusting in my word. And he's hammering home this truth. Remember this. Remember this. Isn't it remarkable? There it is in your Bible. God's saying to you in the seventh section, that brings us into joyful rest and comfort. Remember this. Remember this. It is my desire to comfort your heart. And this is my comfort. Verse 50, the psalmist says. We don't know who penned the 119th Psalm. Most people will tell us it was David. Some people actually argue for Jeremiah. Dr. John Douglas, in his book on Psalm 119, bases the entire psalm from the pen of Daniel in the 70 years of exile in the land of Babylon. But God doesn't give us the author. He gives us the word, and that's what concerns us today. And here's what the psalmist said. It's remarkable, isn't it? Look at what it says there in the verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant. And then look what it says in verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction for thy word. Now notice the difference. Remember the word. Remember thy word. And so there's a general word that goes out to the congregation today. But there's a word that God will give to you. And you will have an experience whereby you're able to look back to a time when God gave you a word. When God gave you a promise. And what's the Lord saying to you? You remember this. You remember what I've said. I'm hammering home today a great truth. I'm fastening this nail in a sure place in your heart and life. I want you to remember the word that I have given you, upon which I have caused you to hope. And I will not disappoint you. I will not let you down. I will fulfill that word. I'm sure you have met people today and they decry the word of God and they lift up the word for ridicule. But have you ever heard a believer, a child of God say, God has broken his word? You say to me, well, I've never met anybody that said that. Or you may even say to me, I've never met anybody who has challenged the word of God. I can tell you something. If you and I go through difficult times and hard times, there will be times when we begin to question. We may even be tempted and succumb to that temptation and say that God has broken his word. He doesn't keep his word. Don't think for one moment you would never get to that place where you would say, I don't believe God can keep his word now. I don't believe he's done right by me. Don't think for one moment. Better people than we are have questioned. Read through scripture and you'll see that. And the experiences of God's people in history, in their darkest hour, at their lowest ebb, they've even questioned whether God has kept his word to them as a promise. But God's saying to us today, I want you to remember this. I keep my word. I don't disappoint. I don't break my promises. I will keep my word. Remember the word. That's a personal experience. Remember thy word. That's a general application to the entire congregation. So in times of great trouble and trial and in the storms of life and in those low ebbs, I want you to know that this is your comfort, the word of God. There are people who run everywhere for their comfort. They run to counselors. They run to phone lines. They run to the shopping mall. They run to the public house. They run to the cigarette. They lift up the glass or they lift up the bottle. And this is my comfort. They take their little bookies docket and they hope that it will have a big win. And they say, this is my hope. This is my comfort. There are some who will take the needle and put it into their arm. And they will say, this is my comfort. Some may drop the tablet into the glass. Or some may pop the tablet into the mouth. And they will say, this is my comfort. But the child of God doesn't do that. We lift up the word today. And we say to a godless word, look, this is my comfort. This is the word. This is thy word, God's word. This is my comfort. I don't need to go beyond the word of God for my comfort. I don't need to run on a shopping trip to New York. And hopefully you haven't planned that. I'm not getting at you. I don't need to spend hours watching my favorite TV series so I can immerse myself and forget about my trials. I don't need to sip at the wine bottle. I don't need the cigarette in secret. I don't need any of those things. Why? Because thy word is my comfort. It's the only means. Reject the word of God, child of God, and you have no comfort. I'm telling you, you have no consolation whatsoever. This is my comfort, the word you've given to me, and thy word that I find in Holy Scripture. There's never been a moment in my life, in my experience, and I'm bearing my heart, and maybe I shouldn't do this, but I'm just a sinner like you, saved by grace. I'm a man subject to like passions as you are, and I have my ups and downs, and I have my moments, and I want to tell you something. In the darkest hours of my life and experience as a Christian, I practice this regularly. I lift the word of God and I read and I read and I read and I find comfort. And the shadows are dispelled and the night gives way to day. I want to tell you the pain is eased. The mind is calmed. And this is my comfort. Thy word. The word. God gave me a word coming to Cumber. And he gave it to me in this very house. And he spoke to my heart as I was sitting just where Elizabeth and Albert are sitting in a presbytery meeting. And God spoke to my heart. And he confirmed that word to me. And he spoke to me from the book of Deuteronomy. And he said these words to me. Turn ye and go. Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn ye. Take your journey and go. And I rested on that word in the month of February and March. I didn't receive a call to this church till November. But such was the comfort that I had and the assurance that God gave me through his word that I was able to meet with my session in Lisburn and tell them that I believe God was calling me to Cumber. And that was a heavy blow to them because, one, they did not expect that. Two, how would you know that? They haven't even met the call. You haven't even preached there yet in May. But I knew, and I had a word from God. And whenever the time drew near, I was reading in McShane's daily readings, around about October time, just before, a month or so before the call was issued, I was reading in McShane's readings. You can trace it in McShane's readings to this very chapter, and you'll get the very day. And God gave me that verse 49 of this psalm. What a comfort. And here's what the Lord gave to me. And I was able to plead this before him. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And I know there was pressure upon me to withdraw my name. I know there were those who were good to me and were thinking about me and tried to persuade me in a gentle way that you've got it wrong and you should take your name out and it's not too late to do that. And there were those who perhaps were mischievous as well. And they were saying, you'll never get it, and so on and so on. And then there was the devil, and then my own unbelief. And God caused me to remember this word, and he hammered home this truth. And I held on to that against even those that says, you're not get the call. And I knew. I says, Lord, remember. And on the very day that you were meeting the call in this congregation, I was meeting with God, and I was pleading with God, and I was saying this, Lord, remember the word thou gave to thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And I knew he was no disappointment. And a great peace came over me. And I can tell you now, not one ounce of unbelief was in my mind or in my heart. And God had caused me to hope. And I knew he wouldn't let me down. And I knew that God himself will fulfill his word to me. And that's exactly what happened. And here I am in this pulpit as your pastor, by the divine will of God, because God gave me that word. And I hoped in him. And what a comfort. I want to tell you as we close now, there are just two very simple thoughts on that word comfort found in this psalm. Thy word is my comfort in my affliction. Think first of all of the personal comfort that God's word brings to our hearts. Look at verse 49. Remember the word. Has God given you a word? Maybe a few years ago. Maybe you've underlined your Bible, you can open it now. Maybe that page is so used that every time you open your Bible, it falls open at that very point. Maybe there's even a little mark on the ink where tears have fallen onto your Bible. And you were crying over that word and pleading with God for that word, and it's never been fulfilled yet. I want to tell you something. You can come to God today and you can say, Lord, remember the word. You see the personal comfort that God's word brings to our hearts. The word. Not just thy word, because thy word in a general sense does comfort our hearts. But the word. I believe the psalmist has a definite experience in mind. He has a time when God spoke the word into his heart. I believe it's a moment when the Spirit of God quickened him and gave him a personal word. I'm not talking about some dream. I'm not talking about some charismatic vision today. I'm not talking about God saying to you this thing and that thing outside of his word. How often we have seen that, especially in the Pentecostal churches and in the charismatic movement. They're all looking for signs. They're all looking for things outside the word of God. And they say, God spoke to me today. Did you know that one of our ministers, a man came to him one time and he said this to him, I was talking to God today and he spoke to me. And the minister said, what did he say to you? And here's what the man said. He says that you are going to pay my electric bill. The minister had the sense to reply. And here's what he said in reply. He says, funny, I was talking to the Lord this morning as well and he never mentioned it. Isn't that a remarkable thing? So if anybody comes to you and says, God says, you're lending me 40 quid, you'll say, funny, I was talking to the Lord 10 minutes ago and he never mentioned it. You see, it's all outside of Scripture. Remember the word. Not the dream, not the vision. Not what's conjured up or hoped in my heart. Not what I want or I'm looking for and then just blame God for saying it. Remember the word. A definite experience is in mind here. A specific time. This personal word from God will sustain you in difficult times. I want to tell you something. Every time I go to preach, and I know there's a preacher here today as well, and there are other people who can preach. and are used to public speaking. But the devil gives you a horrid, terrible time. And no matter what a busy week you've had or a difficult time you're going through, when you come to preach, you want to be at your best. And even at your best, you're insufficient and you feel your inability and you're cast upon God. It's not a job to me. It's a vocation. It's a calling. I didn't choose the ministry. God put me in it. I didn't look for it. God called me to it. And in those times, whenever I'm struggling, for instance, yesterday, and I had to go to Ballymoney last night to preach, I felt the attacks of the devil, my own inward corruption and filthiness of my sin. And the more I got alone with God, the more I felt the loathsomeness of sin. And I felt, Lord, I am totally insufficient. If there was a way out of it, I would have taken it. And God reminded me of his word that he gave to me many, many years ago. And here's what the Lord said to me. I'll tell you. Here's what he said to me last night. Traveling down to Ballymoney on my own, praying to him, calling upon him, crying out to him. Here's what he said. Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is my comfort. The word. Thy word. In my affliction. And what a comfort. What a blessing. I want to tell you, friends, I didn't want the road to end. I wanted to travel on in that experience. I felt like Peter, James, and John. Let us build here 3 tabernacles. And let's just remain in this blessing. Let me not, Lord, have to get out of this car. Let me just drive on into eternity and just experience the comfort and blessing that thy word and the word was to my heart. Now, has God given you a promise? Or tell me this, child of God, when was the last time you got a word from God? When was it? Can you remember when the last time God spoke to your heart or comforted your soul? Can you remember? Do you ever write it down, lest you forget? Does the Lord not say, remember this, remember this, remember this, remember this? Does he not say that? Does he not hammer home the truth? Remember thy word, remember this, remember thee word. And yet you've forgotten. When was the last time God spoke to you, young person? You maybe read your Bible. I don't know how you read your Bible. You maybe read your Bible quickly in the morning or late in the afternoon or last thing at night, and it's just a skip through. Maybe it's the same passage. Maybe it's Psalm 51, Psalm 121, Psalm 23. Maybe it's just a little verse in Isaiah 41:10. Just the one verse, and you just read the same thing all the time. You get no benefit, by the way, in the young adults tonight. The Lord willing, I will be preaching and ministering on the subject, the Christian and their quiet time. That's an important thing among young people. Meeting with God regularly, the habit of reading and praying and hearing from God. When was the last time the Lord spoke to you? Now I'm asking you the question. Oh, you can remember when you spoke to God. Maybe when you complained, maybe you asked for help all the time. And when was the last time he spoke to you? When was the last time, friend, listen, when you lifted this book and you read the word of God and this word spoke to your heart? When was the last time? And you say, well, I can't remember. I just read, but I don't take anything in. I read, but it doesn't make any sense. And I read and I close it, and I might as well read the Beano or the Dandy, for it makes no sense to me. I tell you, friend, you need to stick at the word. And you need to stay at the word. Maybe it's a case that you're reading far too much. That's right. You can't take it in. But better reading a smaller portion. Better reading just a few verses. That you might take it in. And God would speak to your heart. And I know many people, because when I'm in church and I sit beside people, I can see their Bible and it's underlined and it's marked. And listen, some people don't like marking their Bible. Some people do. I have no objections to it whatsoever. To mark the Word of God, to highlight those passages and portions where God has spoken to your heart. I tell you something, you forget so easily and you turn it up and there it is, you've highlighted it. I usually put a date beside it and I can tell you the very time, the very day, the precise moment when God gave me the Word and He spoke to my heart. I have it underlined in my Bible. I have a number of Bibles that I use and every one of them contains those passages where God spoke to me. I can remember many verses, passages, themes, subjects, incidents. I can remember sermons that people have preached and God spoke to my heart. I can remember recent sermons that I've listened to and heard sitting in church buildings. And on the internet, I've been listening to sermons. I know for a preacher, it seems to be that he just reads the Bible for study. He just listens to sermons so they can get a better sermon himself. But we've got to feed our own souls. We have got to have the Word of God. And I'm asking you before I move on to my final point, when was the last time God spoke to you? Through His Word. Well, maybe if He hasn't spoken and you've never heard His voice in months, or even in years. What's the problem there? What kind of a relationship is that? Now, if a fella met a girl and the girl never spoke to him for years, it just reminds me of my wife and I, actually. She hasn't spoken to me for years. She doesn't like to interrupt me. But I'm thinking, you know, and they have this relationship and the fella's doing all the talking and she never utters a word, never speaks. And the fella never hears how she feels about him. And she never tells him. There's no expression. What comfort would there be? Do you think that relationship would last? It did with June and I, by the way. And I want to tell you something. It wouldn't last. There has to be that two-way communication. You have to find out about each other. And you have to be told things. And you have to know how a person feels about you. And the best way to do that is in their actions and through their words. And I'm telling you now that God speaks to us through His Word. When was the last time you heard from God? We need an up-to-date experience with the Lord. I need to be standing in this pulpit every Lord's Day, having heard from God for you. I can't come with a sermon popped into the microwave spiritually and heated up for you. I have to have a word from God. I don't want to mount those pulpit steps ever in this house. To the day that I finish my ministry here or God calls me home. I don't want to mount those pulpit steps. And I covet your prayers. I want you to pray this for me. I want you to pray this for me. Lord, don't give Thomas Martin a sermon. Give him a message from God. Put him into that pulpit with a word for me, from God. And today, I have a word from God for you. This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word is my comfort. And so you have the personal comfort God's word brings to our hearts. Remember the word. But notice that secondly, the powerful confidence God's word brings to our hearts. Look what it says in verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. That's a remarkable word. It means to make alive. We often come to the word of God with drudgery. We come with tiredness, we come with a deadness, and suddenly we read the word and we're reinvigorated. We're made alive. It seems the word quickens us, and that's what happened to me last night. It was the word to me that God spoke that revigorated my life, that sent me to Ballymoney to preach with life and power, and I believe with the help of God last night at the harvest. And God gave me the word, and this is my comfort even in my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. It's reinvigorated my life. And the man or woman, the young person, boy or girl, that's reading their Bible, getting a word from God, they will be revitalized. Their lives will not be the same. They will be transformed. They will be joyful. They will be calm. They will be peaceful. They will be alive. Thy word has quickened me. What a comfort. In the midst of severe adversity, it's easy to go down under the sheer weight of trial. But such is the sanctifying power of the Word of God, that it literally influences the life and transforms the entire character. Notice as we finish, and I'll just use these verses as a conclusion and not preach them, although I could. Look at verse 51. Look what the Lord, the Word of God does. It produces steadfastness. Look at verse 51. It's the Word quickened, comforted. And then the psalmist could say, I have not declined from thy law. And the one who's reading the Word and quickened by the Word and comforted by the Word and gets a word from God, they follow the Lord and they obey that Word and they seek to obey the Lord. Notice what it says. He receives comfort from the Word of God and he says, yet have I not. It's the Word of God. This very psalm begins in that section there in the beginning, where the psalmist says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Notice not only do we see here that it produces steadfastness, but notice in verse 53, it preserves sensitivity. Look at verse 53. He says, horror hath taken hold of me because of the wicked. You see, the one who's studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God, they don't get jealous at the wicked and their behavior when they mock you, when they afflict you. They don't get jealous when they walk by the open airs. And could I say to you, this Wednesday afternoon in Cumber, in the square, there will be an open air. Our brother, Mr. Noel Hughes, and our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, will be standing in the square on Wednesday afternoon, and they'll be preaching the gospel and doing outreach. If you want to join them, you can, but we have to socially distance. We can't have 400 turning up, as you would appreciate. But I will say this, they will be mocked, they will be laughed at, they'll be ridiculed, the young people tearing tracks up in their face. We've all had that. And our reaction, when we're comforted by God's word and reinvigorated by the word, horror fills our hearts. Why? Because we see their end. We don't condemn them. We don't be judgmental. We don't be angry with them. We don't shout at them. We don't fight with them. We pity them. We know their end. They don't repent, they'll perish. We see the horror of what will happen to those that afflict the righteous and those that are not saved. Notice something else here as we close. It provokes singing. Look at verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. You might have come in today with a sour soul and spirit, but you can go out with a singing soul and spirit. Thy statutes have been my songs, my praise, my thanksgivings. They've been the joy of my heart. Thy precepts, thy statutes, thy commandments, thy law, thy judgments, all that's read here in the Psalm 119. This comfort he received from God's word transported him up to heaven, whereby he was able to sing with saints made perfect and holy angels the songs of praises to his God. Can I tell you something else? This comfort penetrated the shadows. Look at verse 55. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, when? In the night. In the night, when you can't sleep. Don't count sheep. Look at the shepherd. Look at Christ. I tell you, it will penetrate the shadows. I remember thy name. That name carries all the characteristics and attributes of our covenant-keeping God and our union with Christ. Sleepless, fretful nights can be turned into comfortable, peaceful moments meditating upon the name of the Lord and the Word of God. Dear child of God, storm-tossed believer, weary worker as I close, discouraged disciple, is that you? Lonely laborer, is that you? Cheerless Christian, is that you? Fearful follower, is that you? Get alone with Christ today. Open up your Bible. Ask him to take you through those green pastures and to those still waters of his word. Ask him to feed your soul today. Ask him to comfort your heart. Ask him to give you the song and the joy through reading the scripture. And this I had. Notice what it says in verse 56 as I finish. This I had. Thy word. The word. It's all we need. May God bless his word to your heart this very day. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we do thank thee for the comfort of the word of God. I want to thank thee for this book that thou hast given to us. We thank thee, Lord, for what Scripture holds, what it teaches. We thank thee, O God, for the mind of God revealed, and what a love, what compassion, what mercies there are. Lord, what design there is in the mind of our God through the Word to do for us. Lord, it doesn't put us in the doldrums. The Word of God does not make us feel backslidden. And if it does it for a good reason, that we might return again. Lord, answer prayer. Lift up our hearts today through the Word. Lord, hammer it home. Remember this. Remember this. The word and thy word. So bless us now as we part. May we leave in the fear and favour of God. Bring us again to this house in the blessings of the gospel, and bless the word preached, we pray, in Jesus' precious name.